the risk. It was your own fault.
There's so many risks you take, and you get away with a lot of them, don't you?
And you got to have those risks, or else you're not living.
So if you wanted a risk-free life, you'd do nothing.
Yeah, you stay in bed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think we should go and have a play now.
And boy, do they play. The risk and thrill of the ride in a car, on a motorbike. Young guys especially seem to love the adrenaline-charged edge of moving fast in a lethal hunk of steel. These guys aren't particularly young guys, though. And for all the men you've just heard, it only took a moment, a flash of time. And their lives changed forever. Three broken backs, a broken neck. Well, now they've been on a kind of odyssey across the heart of Australia from Perth to Birdsville. They've all swapped wheelchairs for quad bikes, but it's what they were stopping to do along the way that will, I think, send a little shiver down your spine. The Ride is a film produced and directed by Sandra Cook, who's also the founder of an online community called Journey Beyond Road Trauma. And executive producer Jim Cares and Anton Zappelli are two of the film's stars, and they all join me this morning on Life Matters. Welcome to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Look, Sandra, let me kick off with you. This engagement with life after road accident trauma has been with you since you lost your own father in an accident some years ago. But what sowed the seeds of this particular curious project? What drew you to it?
Well, definitely I have a big sense of adventure, and that appealed to me. And
I'll say.
Yeah, I'm very, very interested in the capacity of the human spirit to rebuild their life after tragedy, and these guys certainly do that.
They sure do. Just tell us the premise of this film.
Well, it's basically the story of four guys who all have spinal injuries, and they ride quad bikes across Australia to visit the crash sites where they were injured as young men.
We're talking 5,000 kilometres on quad bikes.
That's right. Big mission.
What was it like filming it? Tell us a little bit about the logistics.
The logistics were impossible. They went incredibly fast, and it was very hard keeping up with them. And obviously we're trying to work in really challenging environments. The dust, the speed, everything was really hard, and we only had two crews, so it was an epic feat.
Just to connect with your own experience too, what was it like for you going back to crash sites of, well, Jim and Anton and their friends, in terms of your own relationship to the loss of your father?
That's an interesting question. Each of their stories were so interesting, and I guess this was all about them, so it wasn't really about me and my past. But I guess because I had experienced road trauma to some extent, I could in some way understand a little bit about what they were going through.
Let's hear a little more of the doco. Jim, this is you.
I always think of myself as an able-bodied person. I dream of myself walking. Quite often I wake up in the morning and I look at my wheelchair and I think, shit, I'm in a wheelchair. I'd like my kids to think that I did something in life. Was it just the old bloke in the wheelchair?
Jim, you were 25 when your accident happened?
That's right, yep.
25 years ago or so now. Birdsville, what did happen in 1985?
Back in 1985, it was the very first what they called the Wind Safari then, but it's now called the Australian Safari. And in 1985, it went from Sydney to Darwin. Excuse me. And it's a proper race. It's not like a cannonball run or something like that. You know, there's competitive. It's a proper rally type race where we in the third day, I hadn't had much sleep leading up to that third day because I had problems with my frame fatiguing. And on that third day, I'd fixed it properly, and I had this driving ambition in my mind that I was going to make up a few places that day, which was probably a bad decision, bearing in mind that I hadn't had much sleep. And anyway, so I was overtaking a car, coming into a corner, and hit a little sand nodule and fell off and broke my back.
It's all it takes, just that one moment, isn't it?
Well, the interesting thing about when we went back to the site, because I had never been back to the site, and you can imagine when you're racing the speed of things that happen, you don't really when you're racing, everything's happening in a nanosecond sort of thing.
Mm.
When I went back to the site, what I hit probably wouldn't have been as bad to hit if I'd been fully alert and able to, just move my body a bit on the bike. And so what threw me off, it was probably a silly risk I took on that day, looking back at it.
You mentioned in that clip you dream of walking. I wouldn't even know where to start in terms of getting you to describe the process of readjustment. But what I did find really fantastic about this documentary is that we're meeting you all many years after your accidents, and so you've got relationships, you've got careers. So it's an incredibly positive film in that respect. But what was that readjustment like for you as a young man?
It's like being reborn, and Anton puts it down at one part of the clip. It's like becoming a baby again, because you've got to relearn to, empty your bowels and bladders and that sort of thing, like a baby is doing when it's in its infancy. But you never learn how to walk, and the walking, you actually do get used to being in a wheelchair, but the frustration of not getting to some locations because of sand or because of whatever elevation steps can be annoying. But one of the things that we found on that trip with the quad bikes that were specially licensed or specially permitted to do the trip...
They were lethal, man. I couldn't believe what you were doing, given the irony. It was kind of bizarre irony. You were driving like hoons across the desert.
It was reviewed by the National Road Safety Council, interestingly enough.
And, the film.
The film.
I think they had their hesitations.
Well, I'm sure they had their hesitations, but they do believe that there is some strong road safety messages within that, put it that way.
But why did, just to come back to why the four of you really wanted to revisit the sites of your crashes, what was it at the heart of that desire? Was it to make some sort of peace with those places?
Well, it was... initially, it was there was Craig and myself right hand cycles, as we all do, and we were riding hand cycles in Perth. Hand cycles where you pedal by hand. Anyway, we were riding around the bridges in Perth here, and we decided Craig actually had a bucket list to go to Uluru, and I've always wanted to go to my crash site to see what happened, and that's what culminated in the trip, and then Anton and Terry wanted to come as well. But there is a form of closure, I suppose, but most of us probably already had a level of closure. It was just the ability to get out there and physically go back and sit on the site and say, well, this is where my life took a U-turn.
Anton, let's hear a little bit of you going back to your site. And here's the clip.
The car's just slid. We hit the windrow and it just went end for end. Slow motion. End for end. So we just landed, bang, right there, upside down. And my eyes would sort of roll off into my head, and my arm would relax when I'm holding myself forward. And as I sort of would roll off, my arm would relax, and my back would touch something behind me. But it hurt like shit, it just wake me up, bang. My arm would just pull me forward again, my eyes would be wide open, and I'd just be frozen there in pain, holding, and just listening. And then slowly I just start drifting off again.
Anton, what did it feel like for you returning to your site? This is 20 years later and, incredibly in that isolated spot, there was a piece of the grill of your Datsun still there.
Yeah, it was definitely quite an emotional time, that's for sure.
But you were 17 20 years before. Explain what happened for you.
I made a simple choice. I was 17. I was out there at Orabanda. It's about 60, 70 kilometres northwest of Kalgoorlie. And I was with my girlfriend and her two younger sisters at the time in one of their parents' vehicles. It was one of their work vehicles, a four-door utility. And I let my girlfriend drive. She didn't have a license, and she drove for about 15 minutes before she lost control and hit the windrow.
And what did you break?
I broke my back, the same as Jim and Terry. We all broke our backs around T12.
I mean, in the years after the accident, you talk about being, well, more than a mess, really, lots of pot and alcohol, and you describe it as the kind of poor bugger me attitude. You say you hated yourself.
Yeah, definitely. As for me at that age, you know, I was doing an apprenticeship as a boilermaker welder, and that was kind of a secondary thing in my life. I mean, my main priority was golf, and I was really focused on making golf my career. Mm. So when this occurred, I just lost everything. You know, I lost my future. And to me, the hardest thing to deal with was the fact that I had no one to blame but myself. So to get my head around that at the time, it was huge, you know, just trying to come to terms with the fact that I had done this to myself. I'd thrown my dreams, my hopes, my future away, in a sense.
The masses of self-blame.
Yeah, huge. And it, for me, it was just... it was impossible for me to come to terms with that. So, yeah, I sort of developed this poor bugger me attitude and started doing things that I would not normally have done, I suppose. Lots of drinking and smoking pot to try and quell the pain. But obviously that doesn't work. It just makes things worse.
Well, what lifted you out of that? Because I think it's interesting, given that all of you have had a really long trajectory here, you know, adapting to the physical change, emotionally and otherwise. But what started to pull you out of that situation, do you think?
For me, it was a number of things, but I think mainly someone making me realise, like an old family friend making me realise that, you know, what I was doing to my family, especially my parents and, you know, everyone that was in my life that cared for me and loved me in some way, the damage I was doing to them and making me realise that, you know, that damage is just not worth it. It's up to me to get out of this situation and make the most of what I had. And as they pointed out, you know, you've still got a brain in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get off your ass and do something.
There's a huge milestone for you in the middle of this road trip. At pretty much the world's best wedding venue, I reckon. You got hitched.
Yeah, it's quite a spectacular wedding venue, that's for sure.
I'll say, Uluru.
Yeah, that was overwhelming. Yeah, it was an awesome experience. I think the whole journey in itself was quite emotional. You can imagine, you know, the lead up to a wedding is emotional for all involved, and with me, it was probably that extra. There was more emotions. You know, I had this journey that had been planned for so long. Weeks before the start of the journey, I was in hospital for 3 or 4 weeks with pressure areas, so it didn't look like I'd be able to make the journey. So that was a pretty spectacular start to the whole thing. That started off some worries, I suppose. And then just making it to Uluru. And also meeting my wife there, at that time my future wife.
A very pregnant wife. A very pregnant future wife.
Pregnant. Yeah, exactly.
With twins.
So you've got those extra worries and concerns. So it was definitely a very emotional journey for myself, yes.
Oh, I gather you've got the twins there with you right now, in fact.
No. Fingers crossed they're still asleep or they're laying there listening to me talk.
We're expecting a chorus any minute. Jim Cairns, for you, and the trip ends at Birdsville and there's a race through some shocking floods to get there very late at night, but this was the site of your accident. And there is the policeman who held your head after the accident. He meets you there. What was that like?
That was quite incredible, really, because what had happened was it took over 25 years to find the man that knew where my crash site was. No one knew. All the records had been lost. You know, they'd gone from paper records to computer records in that time since 1985. The old paper had been destroyed, hadn't been loaded up. Anyway, if I hadn't found Bob, I would never have found where my exact crash site was. And it took that that lengthy period of time to physically contact Bob. And then when I got hold of him, he chose, and much to his credit, he drove 12 hours down from North Queensland
beautiful,
to meet me there.
Beautiful.
And then we were running short of time, and it looked like we weren't going to get there, and he'd have to leave before we physically got to Birdsville. That's why we had to do that mad dash. We actually did the Simpson Desert in one day, which is a mean feat for anyone, I think.
Unbelievable. I mean, the conditions were really tough physically, weren't there? I mean, your co-traveller, Craig, he's a C6 quad, which means he's got complete paralysis of the body and legs. I don't even think that he could grip the handlebars of the quad bike. And you are racing against the clock.
Yeah, well, Craig's an interesting fellow. He's known as Super Quad over here. If a quadriplegic can do it, generally you'll find Craig is in there doing it.
He's stubborn.
What's he saying? He says, trying and failing is not the issue. Not trying is the issue for me. So he'll have a go at anything, but I think you probably saw there's one scene there where he says, oh, I'm aching, you know, I'm aching all over. And I said, where does it hurt? And he said, I've only got 12 muscles. Every single one of them hurts.
That's right. What's this about the Birdsville girl's blouse?
Oh, well, that was set up at the early stage of the trip, and I think that was just a bit of light fun. If someone did something silly or funny or humorous during the day, they got awarded that at the end of the night. I think I might have worn it once or twice.
But really, when you come to the sites, it's interesting. I was watching acutely, you know, your responses, as all the viewers of this documentary will, and there's no wailing on camera. It's a very quiet, shared acknowledgement, and you each tell your story at each of your sites. Well, Jim, was there a process of acceptance here?
I think there was. It's probably going to be, you know, what do they say, the biggest occasions in your life are buying a house and getting married and things like that. Well, I think breaking your back would have to rate up there with a pretty significant event in your life. And you're actually sitting on the site where your whole life's impacted. Everything's impacted. You're impacted. The people around you impacted. Your future potential's impacted. If you had a job already, that's impacted. So when you sit there, you know, it's like playing a what-if question. You know, I wonder if this little event here hadn't happened, what would have happened, where would I be today? So I'm not saying you go too deep into it, but you just know that was a significant event in your life.
And Anton, for you, can you give us a sense of the freedom of kind of chucking away the wheelchair and being, well, beyond mobile on these quad bikes? They are really precarious.
Yeah, I think that sense of freedom is amazing, just to have that. It's something like when you're in a wheelchair, you never expect that you could actually, you know, ride across Australia, in a sense, on a motorbike. And the four of us being into motorbikes before our accidents, even myself, just to have that sensation, it's just exhilarating. The freedom is awesome.
Must be hard to come off the back of it, though. Nothing will ever compare.
Come off the back of it?
Well,
trip?
No, off the back of the trip. Bike. No, bad faux pas. Oh, except you did have twins not long afterwards, so perhaps that's another extreme.
Yeah, that is an extreme, for sure. The trip, well, there's more planned, I think. Hopefully in the future we've got some more to do, so.
Yes, I gather. Sandra, back to you. There have been, you know, some will wonder if the film is useful as a road safety precautionary tale, given the careering over desert land that goes on quad bikes. How has it been received so far? And Jim alluded to this.
So far, people are really enjoying it. They say that it's really honest, and the guys are really honest and revealing about their worlds, and that they're inspired by what these guys have overcome. In terms of in-road safety, what is interesting about it is if you are a young teenager and you watch that trailer, the boys think, awesome, I'm going to watch this because it's these blokes doing cool stuff on bikes. But once they're there and they're taken into the story, they're shown, you know, the real realities of what it is to live with the effects of a serious injury.
Yeah, we get the inside story of catheters and, I mean, all sorts of detail.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think that you will continue to tell these stories? Is this something that that you will do because of what's happened to you?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I just have to see what comes next.
Indeed. Jim, you've traded the quad bike for a recliner bicycle. What's this about the New York Marathon?
No, that's actually Craig.
Oh, it's Craig. I got that mixed up. That was my fault.
Yeah. No, that's all right, but Craig is training. He's the super quad, and he is very, very committed man, and he's doing his 40 or 50 kilometres a day for 3 or 4 days a week, trying to build his muscles up for that.
All 12 of them?
Yeah, all 12. Well said. And they're pretty good, I might say, the 12 that he's got.
I reckon they're probably rippling, those 12 muscles. Look, congratulations to you. It's a profound viewing, and I look forward to hearing what adventures you get up to next. Jim Cairns and Anton Zappelli and Sandra Cook, thank you for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks, Natasha.
It's The Ride. And we'll put a link for further details about the ride on our website. I'm not quite sure when it's going to be broadcast, but we'll give those details, or what we know so far. Sandra Cook, Jim Cairns, Anton Zappelli. And really, you know, if you're wondering about, I don't know, I'm could do with being a little bit more strong and muscly, you know, the kind of mysterious core that we're all meant to be building up with Pilates, etc. Well, it really puts me to shame. Anyway. You're on Life Matters, and coming up, the story of a pen pal.